Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, this is Gil Martin in for Sarah Avampato, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. So glad you could join us. We have got three great segments today from our panel of local experts from around the NHL. First, we'll be joined by Jason Hernandez of Locked On Anaheim Ducks as he talks about some of the young, exciting prospects on the Ducks and how they may fit into the team for the coming season. Then we have a touching segment of an interview with Locked On Flyers' Rachel Donner, who will be talking to Lauren Hart, and she'll be talking a little bit about her father, Hall of Fame broadcaster Gene Hart. And finally, we are joined by the co-host of Locked On Blues, Josh Hyman, talking about the latest on the Vladimir Tarasenko situation, the retirement of David Backes, and a whole lot more. So stay with us. We've got a lot of great stuff to talk about all on today's show. So first up, Jason Hernandez of Locked On Anaheim Ducks. And right now, it's my pleasure to welcome to the show the host of Locked On Anaheim Ducks, Jason Hernandez. Jason, how are you tonight?
Doing all right tonight. Just getting ready for hockey pretty soon.
Yeah, great to know that hockey is starting up on time, usual schedule. And when do the Ducks actually open training camp?
Next week. Well, actually, two weeks. 2 weeks, to be honest. Next week will be the rookie camp and have the rookies come out once again. And then training camp the following week.
So we're right on the cusp of the start of the 2021-2022 campaign. Obviously, last year, a difficult season for the Ducks, finishing 17-30-9, 43 points in 56 games. And yet, Anaheim has two players in Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale that give the team optimism for the future. Talk to me a little bit about the development of these two young players and when and where we're going to see them fit in with the Ducks.
Well, it's kind of tricky to talk about those two because Zegras obviously got benched a whole lot last season, and in fact, he was benched for entire periods and then got healthy scratched. And there's even a rumor that maybe, just maybe, get this, he might not make the Ducks team. And the reason for that is twofold. One, they have a logjam in center. Two, they still have Dallas Eakins as head coach, who famously didn't favor Zegras for whatever reason. So that one's tricky. As far as Drysdale, he might be thrown to the Wolves again. He's only 19 years old, still very young. And they just put him out there like nothing. I mean, really thrown to the Wolves, trying to find his own way in the league. And the Ducks, as of right now, only have five defensemen signed. Oof.
Yeah, How do you feel about what seems to be two very different approaches to these two young top prospects?
I think part of it has to do with just whoever's on the roster right now. The Ducks really have no one on defense. They just lost Hayden Fleury to the expansion draft, which was a complete oversight by the Ducks in not protecting certain players and also just not re-signing certain guys. And now all of a sudden, they're really low on defense. And there's no one else that's a free agent that's out there to sign, to be honest.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of players. I know the Islanders are looking for a left-handed defenseman as well. And you know, there aren't a lot of free agents out there, no question about it. What does Zegras have to do in order to improve on the ice and maybe get into the coaching staff's good graces?
I wish I had a good answer to that because he's doing everything he could. He's blown everyone away in the American Hockey League, did very well in rookie camp. We had a rookie camp live at Five Point Arena in Irvine where I was there for that, and he looked really good. He passed the eye test easily, even tried to pull off in Michigan, was worlds better than pretty much everyone else there. And when I was following this on the LO underscore Ducks Twitter, I said as much. Zegras is just in another world. The question is he going to fit in with other centers in the team? Ryan Getzlaf, he just got re-signed. You still have Sam Steele. You still have Derek Grant. Adam Henrique, somehow he is still around. I don't know how he's around, but he is.
Any chance that the Ducks will look to trade one or more of those centers to acquire a defenseman and free up some room on the roster for Zegras?
They're going to have to at some point, because Zegras is still, even though he is still young at only 20 years old, he can stay in the American Hockey League for only so long before patience is finally lost. What might end up happening this season, Zegras might play in San Diego for a handful of games. He might get maybe 10 to 12 games before they decide, you know what, time is time. I bet what's going to happen is he's going to score 10 points in 8 games down in San Diego, and they'll say, okay, you know what, we have to do something, and they'll just bring him up altogether. Of course, that's the hope, but we don't know what's happening as far as what the coaches think. I don't think there's any way for him to get on their good graces aside from having a mind-blowing training camp.
Well, we have to wait and see if that happens. Talk to me a little bit about the goaltending situation. How happy are you with John Gibson as the starter, and how is the organization feeling about him right now?
John Gibson still looks really good right now. As far as workouts, he looks fine. He's just had no defense around him, with Hampus Lindholm being injured for almost the entire season. That left a massive hole on that side, and it clearly showed throughout the entire season. In fact, most of the goals that were allowed is where Lindholm would have played. So it's a residue of there being too many injuries and having guys, like I mentioned, like Drysdale, playing most of the season because of injuries. So as far as Gibson's go, he's fine. The backup goaltender will be former Philadelphia Flyer Anthony Stolarz, the former goalie with the gritty mask. He will be the backup, and he earned that spot. And as far as the goaltending underneath, you have guys like Lucas Dostal. Dostal is one of the premier young goaltending prospects in the American Hockey League. He really proved himself during the mini playoff last season against the Condors, and he looks to build upon that this coming season. You also have Ole Eriksson Ek, Roman Durney, and Gage Alexander, who they just drafted this past season. He looked really good on rookie camp as well, and I cannot wait to see Alexander develop. He will be not on the Ducks roster. In fact, it turns out Alexander will be going back to college this coming season, so we won't see him for another year. But I look forward to his development in general, and he's a big goalie, 6'6", looks fantastic.
Wow, that is intriguing, to say the least. Jason, for our listeners who are Ducks fans, give us some reasons for optimism heading into this season.
Let the kids play. That's the reason for optimism. If they can get some good playing time, then they could be excited in the future. And I'll keep it honest. The San Diego goals, they're going to be awesome to watch. I mean, yes, watch the Ducks too. But watch these young guys in San Diego. They are going to be fantastic. And these guys are going to be the future of the Ducks. So check them all out.
All right. And Jason, where can our listeners find you on Twitter and on social media? And where can they find the podcast?
They can find the podcast Locked On Anaheim Ducks, wherever podcasts can be heard, including Odyssey app. On Twitter, my personal Twitter is at StimpyJD, and the show's Twitter is at LO_Ducks.
All right, Jason Hernandez, thanks so much for joining us and talking a little Anaheim Ducks.
Thanks a lot.
It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams head back to the gridiron to start the season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this year. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's 100% welcome bonus. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, hockey, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You could learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Now we have a great, touching, and moving interview, an excerpt from an interview with Rachel Donner of Locked On Flyers and Lauren Hart, who sings the national anthem for the Flyers, and she talks a little bit about her father, Gene Hart, the Hall of Fame Flyers broadcaster.
Hi, this is Rachel from the Locked On Flyers podcast with a sneak preview of an interview I did with Lauren Hart, who sings the national anthem at Flyers games. In this bit of our conversation, we're actually talking about her father, Gene Hart, who was a longtime Flyers broadcaster and Hockey Hall of Famer. You've mentioned your father a few times in terms of how he helped you along. And of course, that is longtime Flyers broadcaster, Gene Hart. He was the voice of the Flyers for so many of us and kind of defined the team for a very long time. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But, you know, aside from all of his on the ice calls and, you know, legendary moments that you link with him, is there something about him off the ice that maybe we don't know that made him special, you know, aside from that?
Well, yes, there are many things. Well, he was a great dad, a great family guy. You know, family always came first. And as much as they traveled and as much as we had sort of like a non-traditional, you know, upbringing, in other ways, it was completely traditional and family oriented. So he's a great dad. He was a great teacher, much like he taught hockey to everybody. He was a teacher. So not literally taught history in a high school for years, even into his broadcasting career, when finally it got too much and he had to choose, and he chose to be the broadcaster. But he just was a wealth of knowledge, not only in hockey, but in music and in science and so many different things. He was just such a smart guy and such a kind person. And I think that the thing that a lot of people know, but that bears repeating, is that he interacted with fans in such a down to earth, regular guy, in it with everybody. And people so connected to that, that after he passed, I got a lot of letters and things saying your dad was the great broadcaster that he was, but I got a lot more talking about, you know, your dad showed up at my high school for my kid's graduation, or your dad came and spoke about something at our school, or your dad visited my son in the hospital when he wasn't well. And one of the ones that I will never, ever forget, and somewhere in my home I have this letter, but someone had written me a letter and had told me that he was involved in a very bad accident, and that he was literally on the side of the road, and how terrifying that was. He said, but a man stopped for him and got out of his car and got down on the ground with him and, you know, and said, hang in there. You're going to make it, and this is going to be fine. And I'm here with you. I've called for help. I'm going to stay with you. I'll be here. And the guy had written, he had no idea who it was that was helping him until he saw his hand. And on that hand, he had his Stanley Cup ring. And oh, the guy wow. said, in that moment, I realized it was Gene Hart here with me. And he said, he's like, he was so moved by that moment. And, you know, that's just the guy he was. He was just such a good man, a good person, a kind person, and a giving person. And, you know, he was this superstar in hockey, but he was even a bigger superstar off the ice for people, I think. And I think a lot of people do know that, you know, and I think it's neat to be able to share those stories for the things that people don't know as much about him.
For more of this interview and all the latest news and analysis on the Philadelphia Flyers, tune in to the Locked On Flyers podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. And you can find me, Rachel, at R. Miriam.
Hockey fans, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know, Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There really is something for everyone. Listen to these great permanent flavors from Built Bar. Cherry Barcia, mint brownie, coconut, strawberry, cookies and cream, German chocolate, and my personal favorite, salted caramel. Salted caramel combines that salty and sweet taste that I absolutely love. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the 9 permanent flavors. But not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're also healthy too. Check out the macros. Each bar has between 17 and 18 grams of protein, between 130 and 180 calories, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar, and just 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. All amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Right now, go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. And now, Josh Hyman, the co-host of Locked On Blues. And right now, it's my pleasure to welcome in the co-host of Locked On Blues, Josh Hyman. And Josh, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing well, and a busy week for the St. Louis Blues leading up to today. And let's start with the news about David Backes announcing his retirement, but signing a one-day contract to retire with the Blues. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was always bittersweet when he left. You know, obviously looking at like the contract and everything, it made sense why the Blues didn't bring him back for the money that he got with Boston and all that. But it was one of those painful things. Like, I think when I first started becoming a fan of the team and seeing the impact David Backes has, I felt like it was sort of a hope of all Blues fans that he would retire as a member of the Blues. And obviously he did, sort of, but not in the way that we envisioned at the time. So it was a painful couple of years, not, you know, seeing him play in other jerseys, but one of those guys that Blues fans always root for, no matter where he's playing, even when he was in Boston, in that cup final, it was nice to see him, see a familiar face over there. And then seeing him come back and sign a contract with the Blues just put a huge smile on my face. This organization is known to treat their alumni really well. There's a reason why so many St. Louis legends or Blues legends still remain in the St. Louis area. And I wouldn't be surprised to see David Backes sort of follow in the footsteps and become embraced by the city of St. Louis once again, now that he's retired.
What did Backes mean to the Blues? I mean, he was captain for 5 years. He scored 30 goals a few times, but what did his tenure in St. Louis mean to the Blues organization?
It's interesting because I think David Backes sort of would be a perfect player in the Craig Berube era of the St. Louis Blues. I think he defined that style really well. I just think he was a little bit ahead of the curve. He had that figured out before the team did a little bit. He brought that grit. He brought that full effort, 60 minutes, even if it was some random Tuesday night game in the middle of the season or a playoff game. It's the same intensity and the same effort from David Backes every time he's on the ice. And I think a lot of the players followed in his footsteps. I'm assuming a lot of the young guys that are still on the team from when he was the captain, I'm assuming that they learned a lot from him. And like I said, he sort of planted the seeds for the identity of this team that eventually won them a Stanley Cup. Obviously, he wasn't around, but I think he was the original player that sort of made Blues hockey, made the St. Louis Blues a team that you look up on your schedule and think, oh man, I'm going to be sore after that one. So that's David Backes right there for sure.
What do you think the odds are that his jersey is eventually retired by the Blues?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I wouldn't be surprised. I think there's a couple of guys from that from this era that sort of fit that narrative. Alex Steen being another one. I think they sort of fall into the same view in the eyes of Blues fans. I think, you know, statistically, not necessarily someone that's gonna blow you away. Obviously, he was a tremendous player, but it wasn't like he was a superstar talent. But it was just sort of the between the stat sheet things, the way he led the team, and the way he formed an identity in the locker room, and just there's so many good stories. Everyone that talks about him has the best things to say about him. And like I said, the career of hockey players in St. Louis goes far beyond just their time on the ice, with the, like I said, the alumni that they form. So I definitely think David Backes could see his name and his number retired one day in the rafters.
Let me hear your favorite David Backes memory.
Oh, without a doubt, when Alex Pietrangelo called him a Buffalo head. He wasn't on the St. Louis Blues at that time. They were playing each other. But he was, the quote was, "Calm down there, Buffalo head." And I just think that's hilarious.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. The Blues unveiling their jerseys for the Winter Classic this week. Also, your thoughts about the jersey and any thoughts about the upcoming game this year?
Yeah, after seeing Minnesota's jersey reveal, not to throw them under the bus, but I'm going to do absolutely that. After seeing Minnesota's jersey reveal, I was a little hesitant, especially because there were some rumblings that the Blues were going to follow a very similar style. I was a little worried that it was going to be a little too loud, a little too obnoxious, a little too... they're trying a little too hard to make something fancy, which is what I think Minnesota did. I think they kind of tripped over their own feet there. But the Blues took the exact opposite route. They went for something simple, something sleek, similar to some of their past jerseys, like similar color scheme to like the blue jerseys. Obviously, it's the white away, but I think it looks so clean. And just the game itself is something that I've been so excited for. I think this season is going to be really important for hockey getting back up to speed, and just sports in general, with fans coming back in full fold and that excitement returning. I think this season is going to be really important for that, especially with NHL's new partnership with ESPN. This is going to be a huge stepping stone for the NHL, and what better of a televised event than the Winter Classic? It's a spectacle every single year. It's so fun to watch. There's so many memorable games, and there's a great venue this year too, and there are two good teams playing it, teams that had a rivalry last year. Played each other really, really well. Some really entertaining games, and I'm excited to see that brought outside on a national stage to start off 2022. Yeah, I had to think about that for a second, figure out what year we were heading into.
Hard to believe we're already almost there. One other thing happening this week with the Blues, head coach Craig Berube basically saying that he expects Vladimir Tarasenko, who had requested a trade, will probably be in the Blues opening night lineup. Your thoughts about the Tarasenko situation, and what would you like to see happen?
I think when the initial news broke that he had requested a trade, I think pretty much everyone in the Blues fandom, including myself, was mentally prepared for the trade to happen in the coming days, weeks, because that's what you sort of expect with news as bombshell as that. Like, oh my goodness, star player requests a trade. Well, let's start building packages and seeing what we can get back, and let's build the lineup if they trade him for this guy. But when in reality, I think what Berube and Armstrong and even Tarasenko and his wife on Instagram have alluded to is that this trade request thing got a little overblown, and it was more of a request for a change of scenery rather than relationship tattered. Tarasenko has no trust in the Blues organization are some of the headlines that I saw. I think one thing that got said, I don't remember where, but it was basically along the lines of there are many more players that have requested trades that it just didn't go public, that their request was never fulfilled, and they played more games with the Blues or their respective team and had success. So I think as the weeks went on this summer, it became more and more apparent that it wasn't as set in stone as we maybe thought it was. And I think a lot of people already pretty much had one foot out the door in terms of their expectations with Tarasenko. But As a Blues fan and as a Tarasenko fan, I hope that he comes back. I hope he's healthy, and I hope that whatever change of scenery that he requested either works itself out and he's happy, or if he still needs that change of scenery, something will be worked out down the road. At this point, I'm fully prepared, like Ruby said, to see Tarasenko start the season with the Blues. And all you can really do is hope at that point. It's been a rocky offseason with all those rumors, but I wouldn't hate it. He's been my favorite player since I've been a fan of the team. So it pains me to have all these rumors go around, but part of me would love to see him back for sure.
Your prediction, what happens and when with Tarasenko?
My heart and like the fan in me says, oh, he comes out and he lights it up, realizes how much he loves St. Louis and everything is all rainbows and sunshine. The reality prediction is he comes back, he starts producing, teams see that he's still able to produce and they're not as afraid of that injury and those surgeries as they once were because he hasn't played consistently in a very long time. I think once teams see that he is capable of producing and sort of gauge what his ability is at this point in his career with his injuries, I think then teams are going to start circling back around. I just don't think Doug Armstrong wants his hand forced. I think if Doug Armstrong wanted to trade Tarasenko this offseason, he would. I just think he's waiting for that good offer. And I don't think Vladimir Tarasenko will be a member of this team past the trade deadline, unless the Blues go on a run and you know, are sitting at the top of the standings and Tarasenko's got major chemistry with his line mates. But if I had to predict, I would think signs are pointing to a trade happening at some point.
All right, Josh, why don't you tell our listeners where they could find you on social media and where they could find your podcast?
Awesome. Yeah. So like you said at the top of the recording, I am the co-host of the Locked On Blues podcast. So you can find us at Locked On Blues on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and I'm ashamed to say TikTok as well. Soon to be YouTube. We're working on getting that set up. You can follow my personal account on Twitter at Josh Hyman NHL. If you want to check out my co-host, he's not here right now, but he's got great content as well. You can follow him at TWelcher15 on Twitter. And yeah, so make sure you check us out. We're excited for the regular season. We're excited to cover the Winter Classic and Tarasenko and all those more in depth. And we do that on our show.
All right, Josh Hyman, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On NHL podcast. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Rachel Donner for her wonderful interview. Jason Hernandez talking Ducks. And of course, Josh Hyman talking about the St. Louis Blues. Great to be here sitting in for Sarah Avampato. Don't forget, listen to Locked On NHL every day. Stay safe, everybody, and enjoy your hockey.